If you want to turn with me to my text this morning, you'll find it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. I was feeling a little queasy yesterday evening, but I tell you, it's hard to get sick around Mindy Mahan. She just won't let you get sick. I've been treated like a king, and I'm sure David and Teresa can say the same thing. I appreciate that so much. In Matthew's Gospel 13, and let's begin reading in verse 1 and reading a few passages, and we'll try to get in this quickly. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went unto a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith, immediately, they sprang up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell upon good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundantly. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they see and see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and they should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, the gospel, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but he endureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, and some 60, and some 30. The Lord is going to tell us about a mystery. And it is a mystery. When you and I are gathered as we are here this morning, there's something that's going to take place in every heart. We can't see it. I can't see it. No natural eye could see it. But the Word of God is going to every heart. And it has an effect. A negative effect or a good effect. And we can't always determine what's happening. We can't see what's happening. But our Lord, Jesus Christ, who knows all things, He knows what's taking place in the heart. The heart is naked and open in His eyes. The heart's deceitful and nobody can know it but Him. But He knows it. And He's telling us here this morning that while the Word is preached, while it's read, while it's quoted, in some instances, while it's sung, He tells us what is happening in a person's heart. He gives us these four illustrations, these four examples. He tells us here in verse 3 of my text, He said, a sower went forth to sow. That's what I'm doing right now. All of us know something about sowing, don't we? I was raised on a farm. I saw my dad just take a huge sack of grass seed in his hand, and he would just go across the field throwing it. I don't do that. I got the little sower, the little broadcaster, you know, but it's the same difference. We all know something, don't we, about sowing seed. The sower went forth to sow. And he tells us here what the seed is. The seed is the Word of God. In Luke's account, you'll find this in Luke's account in chapter 8, in Mark's account chapter 4. He said the seed is the Word of God. And I don't know all the means that God is pleased to use to sow the seed in the heart. I don't think it's limited to just preaching. Your pastor said one time he thought it would be good just to get up and read out of God's Word. I was reading a gentleman the other day, and he was back in the 1800s, but he was a nobody. He was a preacher of the gospel, but he knew that he was a man that nobody knew. But this man, he was a rich man, a very influential man that lived in the city, and they wanted this poor preacher to come in and talk to this man. And he said, I felt so intimidated. What am I going to tell this man? And he said, I decided this, that for every opportunity I had, I would do nothing but read to that man from the Word of God. And for many days, that's all he did. He sat down and he opened up the Bible and he read from the Word of God to that man. All he did. And he said he purposely missed a day. And when he came back, he found that man so anxious. Not so anxious to see him, but so anxious to hear that Word. And before he left this world, he said that Word took root in that man's heart and the Lord saved him. It's not about the sower, is it? I was listening to Brother Mahan preach this morning, and I thought, here's what's such a blessing about what he's saying. He has hid himself. Nothing. You never think about the sower. It's the seed. And that's what this parable is about. What happens when the seed goes into the heart? What happens when it touches the heart? The Word never returns void. Never has and never will. It's going to accomplish a purpose. And that's what the Master is going to tell us here. So let's look quickly at these four seeds. The heart. The ground is the heart. And then the seed is the Word of God. And those who sow it are those who read it and preach it. It's sown in the heart. And the first thing is found here in my text in verse 19. When one hears, look at this, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away. He snatcheth away. He taketh away that which was sown in his heart. Luke said, then cometh the devil. Then cometh the devil. You and I often rejoice in that blessed promise that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. You and I teach and we believe in a sovereign triune God. And He's here this morning in our midst. But our Lord teaches us something else. There's somebody else here this morning too. There's somebody else here this morning too. And He don't love your soul. He's an unclean, He's a fallen, He's a wicked spirit. And He hates God, He hates Christ, He hates the gospel, and He hates God's creation. And He hates you, and He hates me. And He seeks nothing more than our eternal ruin. And but everywhere the word is preached, He's flying to and fro in the earth, seeking to devour this seed. He's here. And I want you to notice what our Master says about it. Mark and Luke says this about it. When the word is sown in this heart by the wayside, then cometh Satan immediately. Isn't that amazing? Immediately. Look how punctual he is. Everywhere the Scriptures tells you and I to redeem the time, doesn't it? Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Make the best of our time. Take it in and use it promptly. Let's be prompt in serving our Lord. Boy, I tell you, Satan has learned that lesson, hasn't he? He's prompt. Everywhere the Word is being preached and read, he's right there immediately seeking how he may take that Word from the heart. I told somebody the other day, I was raised on a farm, and sometimes we would lose a cow or we'd lose a pig or an animal of some kind, and my dad would take that dead animal and drag it back into the woods. And no sooner would he do that than you'd see all these little specks in the air. There wouldn't be a buzzard any place, but it seemed like they had this sense. Here's something I want to devour. And it wasn't long until the whole sky was full of buzzards circling, 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 coming down. That's what the devil does. He's here this morning. And he's flying to and fro where the Word of God is preached, trying to snatch it up. Punctuality. Punctuality. Something else is said about him here. He catcheth away the word that's sown in the heart. Now look at his power. Look at his power. Now, I'm not here this morning to preach up Satan. We have but one sovereign. One sovereign. And that's God. He's the eternal God and there is none other. But listen, he tells us himself that Satan is a god. Does he not tell us that? And that he's powerful. And when God gives him leave, and God's got him on a chain, God has to give him leave. But I tell you, when God gives him leave, I'm no match for him. And you that's hearing me this morning, you're no match for him. He can devour us if God gives him leave. Look what he did to David. Look what he did to Job. Look what he did to Peter. He goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And that's what he did here. Stole the word. I don't have power to do that. I can't put it there in your heart and I can't take it out. But if God allows him, he can snatch it. He snatches the word out of the heart. But one thing you notice in this parable of our Lord, Satan didn't do this against the sinner's will. Luke says it like this, talking about the seed that fell by the wayside. The seed that fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. It was trampled down. When a man hears the Word of God and he tramples it under his feet, I don't want to hear that. Got no use for that. He can't complain when Satan robs him of it. A friend of mine used to say, if a man won't believe, God will fix it where he can't believe. If a man won't hear the word of God, God will fix it where he can't hear the word of God. Trampled it, and Satan took it, his power. And notice his purpose. It doesn't say it here in my text, but in Luke chapter 8, listen to this. Then cometh the devil and taketh away that which was sown in his heart, lest they should believe and be saved. That's his purpose. To take it, lest they should believe and be saved. Satan is not about masking kingdoms and building buildings and having bank accounts. He's about devouring a man's soul. And he knows if the word comes into contact with the heart and abides there, it's going to produce faith. And he knows faith saves. So what does he do? He snatches it away. Lest they should believe and be saved. He's cunning, isn't he? He's cunning. The Lord tells us here something in Luke's account that is very enlightening to us. And it needs to be preached up and told to sinners. Faith in Jesus Christ will save you. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will do for you what nothing else will do for you. He'll save you. You can't work to be saved. You can't merit salvation. But I tell you, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ will save your soul. And you know something? It'll save you immediately. Men try to work and work and work to be saved and accomplish an end that they'll never gain. But faith will save you immediately. You may be here this morning dead in trespasses and sin. But if God gives you a heart to believe in His Son, I'm telling you, you're saved that instant. Instant salvation. Don't you love that? Oh, that's what I love. Dead in sins one moment, and the next moment you're alive. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. That poor eunuch seeking the Lord didn't know who he was, and Philip preached the gospel to him, and he said, "Here's water. Why can't I be baptized?" He said, "If you believe with all your heart, you can be. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." I do too, don't you? I didn't always believe that He was that. But oh, when the Lord revealed into my heart, I said, "I believe that He's the Son of God." Saved. Saved. Look at the second thing quickly in Matthew's Gospel chapter 13 in verse 20 and 21. This is the next heart. The stony heart here. He said in verse 20, "He that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon and immediately rejoiced with joy received it, yet hath he no root in himself, but he endureth for a while." He believes for a while, but when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, he is offended. Luke tells us that this seed was sown upon a rock. Upon a rock. Now, it seems to be that there was some soil on top of this rock, but right underneath the soil was just rock. What was wrong with this heart? You see it immediately, don't you? Is never broken. This heart was never broken. The seed was sown upon a rock. You can't have seed sown on a rock. A heart has to be broken, doesn't it? And if the seed is sown upon a rock, it'll come up quickly because the roots don't go down. It springs up, but when the sun comes up, there's no moisture there. Because there's no soil there. And what happens? It withers away. It dries away. God must break a heart. He must break the heart. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart. The Bible says that they received the word with joy. But you know it wasn't with joy of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a joy the Holy Ghost had produced there.
And it said they believed, but they believed for a while. That wasn't the faith of God's elect. If it had been the faith of God's elect, what would have happened? They'd have still been believing. They'd have never quit believing. But here was the problem with the second soul. When the sun came up. Man. I don't care what kind of faith you have. It's going to be tried. It's going to be tried of what sort it is. And I tell you, one of the things it's going to try, persecutions, afflictions, and temptations. It's going to get hot. It's going to get hot. And that faith that Jesus Christ gives and sustains, it's going to be tried with fire, and you know something, it's going to become stronger. But that faith, which is a natural faith, born in the human heart, when persecutions and trials come, it's going to wither away. You know what was matter with this heart? You know what was matter with this faith? It didn't have an advocate. Peter, I prayed for you. Satan's going to get you, man. He's desired to sift you. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Why did this faith fail? Why did they quit believing? No advocate. No advocate. I remember in Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, I think it was, he had the pilgrim in the house of the interpreter, if I remember it right, and he showed him the fireplace. And in the fireplace, and he had this man dressed in black, and he was taking buckets of water and throwing on the fireplace. And the fire never went out. And the pilgrim couldn't figure out why the fire's not going out with all that water being dashed on it. And he tucked him around behind the fireplace, and there was a man dressed in white pouring oil on the fire. That's Christ, isn't it? Where He gives faith, He maintains that faith. And you'll never quit believing until faith ends in sight. That's the problem with this heart. In time, it's going to tell, ain't it? I used to have an old deacon friend of mine, and somebody professed the Lord, and he'd say, time will tell. Time will tell. Time will tell. You love the Lord? Time will tell. You really believe Him in your heart? Time will tell. You really hate sin? Time will tell. Time's going to tell, isn't it? When the sun comes up, time is going to tell. There's no moisture of God's grace there in the heart to water it, to water the root. When testing time comes, it'll tell. And in verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. In verse 22 of my text, it says, the thorns were the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Mark said, the lust of other things. Luke said, the pleasures of this world. My goodness. Cares, riches, lust, pleasures. No wonder it didn't come up and produce fruit. You notice something as I read this. You notice this. Everything is opposed to a man's salvation. Satan, still in the Word. The heart is hard and adamant. And now here the world. The world and all its temporal advantages and pleasures. Everything is opposed to a man's salvation. Ain't it a miracle that anybody's saved? It must be a miracle that anybody's saved. There was a man, I read the account of a man who had sat under this particular pastor almost all of his life. And he was dying, and he called for his pastor. And he said, Pastor, I have sat under your ministry all my life. And he said, I've never heard the first message you preached. And he said, every time you touch your text, I sat there and thought about last week's business.
And then if you preach too long, I thought about next week's business. And I never heard a message you preached. And I'm dying lost. Man. The Lord said, plow the thorny ground. Dig up the soil. And don't sow among thorns, didn't He? Cares of this life. The deceitfulness of riches. Man, are they ever dangerous. Spurgeon said, I've never seen the first man leave Christ because of poverty. But I've seen many leave Him because of prosperity. That's dangerous, isn't it? That's dangerous. Many temptations come to rich people. Fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. And here, look what it done to these people. In verse 23, fourthly, look at this. Verse 23. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and he bringeth forth fruit. He heard, Mark said, and he received it. And Luke said, which in an honest and good heart, having heard it, he keeps it. It's a good heart. What's the first thing we see about this heart? First of all, it's a good heart. It's a good heart. I tell you, there's something very telling about that. You say, Bruce, I know one thing. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you know, it's incurable. God don't mess with it. He doesn't put His Word in a heart like that. You know why He calls it a good heart? Because it's a new heart. It's a heart that God has given. That's His covenant promise. I will give you a new heart. And I'll put My Spirit in that new heart. That's why this heart is called good. When the Lord made everything by the word of His mouth. And He had made man, and He stopped and looked at all of His work, and He says, it's good. And when He gives a new heart in the poor sinner's soul, here's what He said, that's good. That's My heart that I've given him. That's good. That's a good heart. The Lord don't remodel this old nature, brothers and sisters. He puts it down. Don't let it rule anymore. It can't have dominion anymore, but He don't take it out, does He? Takes it out as far as the dominion of it is concerned. But He gives a new heart and He says, that's good. And something else He said, in an honest heart. The parallel passage said, in an honest heart. That's it, isn't it? That's it. An honest heart. A man ain't going to ever be honest with God until He gives him a new heart. There was a woman that had that issue of blood, and she pressed her way to the Lord Jesus and said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. And she touched Him, and immediately she was made whole. And the Lord said, who touched me? They said, Lord, everybody's touching you. He said, no, somebody's really touched me. Somebody needs to come here before me and acknowledge they touched me. And she started just trembling. And she came and fell down before His feet and told Him all the truth. Honest heart. Told Him about all the doctors she had been to and all the false trust that she had misplaced in them. And I never was whole till I touched you. And that's the honest truth. I never was saved till you saved me. And that's the truth. I never did understand, brothers and sisters. And I'm not here to stir up some kind of controversy, and I don't think I will. I never could understand a person being saved under free will preaching. And then, look, 20 years later, make a profession and yet hang on to that one. Tell the truth. Be honest. There's not an honest man in hell this morning. Honest people don't go to hell. Only liars and dishonest people. At first he came to the Lord and said, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Are you not being honest? You're a liar. You're just like everybody else. Honesty. Honesty.
rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus and he said, I've kept all of these things from my youth. That's not honesty. You ain't done it. Your heart's full of covetous now. You just don't know it. Another came to him and said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my dead father and then I'll follow you. You won't do it. If you don't follow him where you're at right now, you never will later. Be honest about it. And that's what this heart did. Boy, he was honest. He was honest. That poor publican smote upon his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be propitious to me, a sinner. I need to be saved. I need to be washed. I can't save myself. Nobody else can save me. I'm a lost sinner. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy upon me. Mercy is what I need. Without it, I'll perish, Lord. I'm telling you the truth. And he went down to his house justified. Quit hiding things. You may deceive yourself, but you can't deceive him. Be honest about it. And I tell you, when you're honest with him, you won't get his attention. He's going to have mercy. He's going to have mercy. Another way, right quickly. Just another minute, Pastor. Another way that we can look at this, and it has been looked like this, the parable here applies to believers. Every one of these could apply to believers. Has Satan ever robbed the Word from your heart? Hasn't he robbed so much comfort of precious promises that you just went on, sort of trampled the Word under your foot, and you had to bear the trouble of it, and you weren't saved from the trouble because he robbed. Has that ever happened to you? That's happened to you. A rock? Has your heart ever grown hard? When a heart gets hard, when my heart gets hard, you know where it affects me when hearing this word. David fell into that awful sin with Bathsheba and his heart got so hard. You know he was reading the scriptures that year or whatever. He was going to the worship and hearing the preaching, but his heart was so hard it couldn't penetrate until the Lord sent that prophet and said, you're the man. And man, his heart was broken. Oh, if God's broken your heart, dear soul, keep it tender. Keep it tender. Use every means that God has given you to keep your heart tender. Because if you harden your heart, He's going to have to break it again. Keep your conscience tender. Remember when the Lord first saved you? Oh, how tender your heart was towards you. You wouldn't do anything, oh, to offend Him. You loved His Word. And then these thorns, Brother Cody just read it to us this morning, how these thorns and cares, Martha, Martha, you're so anxious about so many things, and you're not getting any good out of my word. But Mary is. She's chosen these good things. We don't talk about a sinner choosing and his choice saves him. But I tell you, believers make a lot of choices that's not good for them. We have people sometime, we were talking about, all pastors get together and talk about these things. And we talked about sympathizing with the church. You know, you have to work. Some of you are retired, but you've not forgotten when you have to go to work. And man, you work and you're tired. But listen, every chance you get to come and sit under the gospel, every time something comes up and you say, well, I need to do that, but can't that wait? Martha could have left the serving go. There would have been a time to do that and go sit with Mary at his feet. But she not only hindered herself from hearing, she tried to hinder Mary. That's another interpretation. But these three hearts, make no mistake about it, none of them were converted. None of them were converted. If you ever had somebody to interpret this and say these two hearts, they were really saved and they fell away. No, they weren't. I think the Lord gives us a little hint here when His disciples came to Him in Luke's Gospel and said, Lord, why are you speaking in parables? He said, unto you it's given to know the mysteries But unto them that are without, that's their whole problem. These first three grounds, they were without the kingdom. They weren't in it. They weren't in it. And then he made a wonderful statement here in my text. He said, "And this was fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, 'Hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive.'" You know, the only ground, the only heart that understood was this last heart. Ain't that amazing? They seemed to understand, but they really didn't. They seemed to love the Lord, but they really didn't. And he said, they just fulfilled prophecy. You know, the Word can't return void, brothers and sisters. It's going to accomplish its purpose. Was the Word made void because Satan snatched it? No. No. Was the Word made void because of the hardness of that heart? No, it accomplished its purpose. Was the Word made void because the thorns choked it? No, that accomplished its purpose. My Word shall not go forth without accomplishing my purpose. God has a purpose. And however you leave here this morning, His Word is come and it's accomplished the purpose. I was talking to the dear friend of mine one time. He was an unconverted man, but I worked with him for years and had an opportunity to talk with him about everything. And I was talking to him about God's purpose. God has an eternal purpose. And that's what He's doing now, accomplishing, fulfilling His purpose. He said, "You mean to tell me if I go up there on that building and jump off, I've accomplished His purpose?" I said, "If you jump off that building, you're going to kill yourself. You're probably going to kill your soul as well as your body. But you've not changed God's purpose." Boy, man's cocky, ain't he? He's so arrogant. Have you ever seen these t-shirts? Up home there for a while, they had these t-shirts. "No fear. No fear. I'm the captain of my soul. I'm the master of my faith." Listen, you're not. The destiny of every man has already been determined. It's already been determined. It's already been written down in God's book of decrees. Either through sin and rebellion and hardness of heart and unbelief to hell, or through repentance and coming to Christ and faith in Christ and through Him to heaven. It's already been determined. And you'll not change it. You'll just live to prove it. You come to Christ this morning. You give up yourself to Him. You look to Him. Believe in Him. You'll just prove God's purpose for you. You leave here this morning in rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ and refuse to bow and go into hell. You'll just prove. You'll just prove. And when you get to hell, you won't blame God. You won't spend eternity cursing Him. You'll spend eternity cursing yourself. And when you get to heaven, you won't go up there and give any credit to yourself for being there. "Not unto me, O Lord, not unto me. I'm here through the fountain filled with blood that washed me." But the Word's going to accomplish His purpose. That's a mystery, isn't it? God bless you. Thank you, Pastor.